Good afternoon. My name is Lorraine Murray, and I want to thank all of you for being here. There's really nothing more important that you'll ever do in your life. I'd like to thank the Japanese, especially. I'm doing this because of a visit 3 years ago to Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And I had a wonderful speaking tour in Japan this summer. I went for 10 days and stayed 3 months. So I'd like to start with a poem called Hibakusha. Citizens around the world give me their poems, and I like to read them. And Hibakusha is a Japanese word for radiation survivor. Hibakusha, young mother, beautiful baby, shadows burned in sidewalk, nothing more. What is it to live in a land of death? Tell, if you can, Hibakusha. I do not know which to honor more, the Hibakusha who teaches me what I know, or the blackbird. People who live in grass houses should not set fires. A flock of meadowlarks flying at ground zero vanished. What kind of morning was it August 6th in Hiroshima? Another summer's day with kittens and flowers like Wichita, Kansas. Did you kiss your husband goodbye in the morning, Hibakusha? Leaving your mother to the flames, pinned beneath the archway, what did you feel, Hibakusha? Sometimes, in a watermelon land, I dream of your kiss and pray for the troubles of this land with gentle love, gentle peace, gentle light. And we are all Hibakusha. I work with the Radiation and Public Health Project and study the health effects of nuclear power plants, but I also work with Marion Falk, a retired Manhattan Project scientist at the Livermore Nuclear Weapons Lab, where I worked until 1991 when I became a whistleblower. And he has taught me everything I know about radioactive fallout and rainout and how it cycles through the environment and through our bodies. This is something you can never learn in a university, because they don't teach it and they don't want you to know. You can never learn it in a nuclear weapons lab, because there they really don't want you to know. How do you turn it on? This? Okay. This is the nuclear weapons fallout map for the United States. 1,200 atmospheric bomb tests were done at the Nevada test site. Last November, the United States government admitted that every person who lived in the United States between 1958 and 1963 was exposed to radiation. What did it do to the fish in the North Atlantic? This is all government data. I'm showing you all U.S. or other government data. This is Norwegian government data. This was the fishing catch in millions of tons in the Atlantic. These are the Nevada A-bomb tests, the French Sahara tests, the Nevada tests. And in 1963, the U.S. and Russia signed the Test Ban Treaty, ending their atmospheric testing. And you can see the fishing catch fell and fell and fell because the radiation that killed our babies in utero also killed the baby fish. And when you put plants or animals under stress and you remove that stress, the organisms recover. They make tremendous efforts to recover. And you can see that the fishing catch was even higher than before the radiation. What did this do to American children? This is the SAT scores for the entire, all of the children in the United States. And these are children born in 1940, 1945, World War II, when the atomic weapons started. This is 1963, when the Russians signed the Test Ban Treaties. And you can see that the SAT scores for all children in the United States were about 475. They declined with the additional burden of radiation each year to almost 420. And when we signed the Test Ban Treaty, the SAT scores improved and recovered.
What is SAT?
This is the Scholastic Aptitude Test, which is taken when a student is 18 years old in the last year of high school. And in order to get into college, this is one of the required things. So this is what they learned. This is the decline in SAT scores, and this is the kilotonnage of the nuclear weapons tests in Nevada. So you can see the more radiation, or the bigger the bomb, the greater the decline in the SAT scores, or the more damage to the brain of these children. What happened in the Pacific? And I'm sorry, this isn't a very good view graph. This is the Pacific fishing catch in millions of tons. And this is World War II. These are the Pacific A-bomb tests. These are more A-bomb tests. This is U.S., French, and Chinese Pacific tests. 1963 is when the test bomb was signed, the Test Ban Treaty. But as you can see, the French and Chinese tests still affected the Pacific fishing catch. And also, the Japanese have been contaminated with radiation because they're downwind from these Chinese and Russian tests. They like to say that lung cancer is due to smoking, but this is a view graph with women's smoking. You can see declining, but lung cancer in women increasing and crossing over. Clearly, smoking is not causing the greatest proportion of lung cancer. But if you look down here, the nuclear bomb tests, Three Mile Island accident, here's the last atmospheric test, this is Chernobyl, underground testing, and then nuclear power plants, which I'll talk about in a minute. Pardon? Oh, I'm sorry. What did you need to? Oh, I know. It's hard to see. This is 1950, 1960, 1970, 1980, 1990. And this is 2000. What did the Native Americans think? The Native Americans where the uranium was mined in this area. Well, these are the words of Thomas Banyakya, the speaker for the Hopi elders. Uranium and lightning. We don't want these weapons made up of the uranium you take from our land. If you take the uranium, the lightning won't come and bring the rains. The uranium attracts the lightning. Take it away and the lightning won't come. You have no right to take the lightning from us. And then his comment about being guardians and caretakers. The Navajos help guard the land for the Hopi. We don't want them to leave. This is their sacred land too. The white man is the one who needs to leave before nature intervenes. The Great Spirit made us caretakers of this land. We take care of it with our prayers and our ceremony. Now you poison it and rape it and destroy it with your stripped mines and uranium tailings and power plants, all on sacred land. And you try to chase the last few Indians off so you can do your dirty work. This is where two-thirds of the deaths from breast cancer occurred between 1985 and 89. There are 110 nuclear power plants in the United States, and we have nuclear power plants so that the nuclear weapons program would have plenty of plutonium to build their bombs. This is where the greatest population density is in the United States and where most of the nuclear power plants are. This is a nuclear power plant. These are two nuclear power plants, two nuclear power plants. This is Hanford, where the plutonium for the Nagasaki bomb and many bombs after that was extracted. That's a nuclear bomb factory. This is the Idaho Nuclear Engineering Lab. That's a nuclear bomb factory. This is Los Alamos, where the bombs for Nagasaki and Hiroshima were made. And this is the San Francisco Bay Area. There's a nuclear weapons laboratory, Livermore, where I worked, a nuclear power plant, Rancho Seco, which was closed in 1989, and a huge secret naval radiological defense lab where 550 civilian scientists work from 1947 until the 1970s. They dumped everything in the bay. Thousands of dead radioactive contaminated carcasses. They experimented on soldiers, on prisoners, and they drove through the black community at Hunters Point Naval Shipyard and sprayed them with radiation, and they've been studying them ever since. This is what nuclear power did to infant mortality in Russia. This is infant deaths per 1,000 births. 55, 60, 65, 70, 75. And you can see that infant mortality was declining through the 50s and 60s and suddenly started increasing. This is the nuclear power output in Russia. And as the output increased, the infant mortality increased. This is infant mortality at Rancho Seco, which is the nuclear power plant in the San Francisco Bay Area, 1980, 85, 90, 95. This period, this is the infant mortality. In this time period, there were many accidents and leaks at Rancho Seco. We actually can look at infant mortality at any nuclear power plant and tell when they were having radioactive leaks. Infant mortality and babies are the most sensitive to radiation. In 1989, Rancho Seco closed, and look what happened to infant mortality. This is autism in California. We just got this data from the Nuclear Regulatory Commission and the California state government. This is the number of people per 100,000 with autism. And this is also a scale for the megawatts of energy generated in the state each year. You can see that autism in California was zero until the bomb test started, and it sort of began to increase. This is nuclear power output in California, and you can see that autism follows that increase in nuclear power output. Autism is a learning disability in children. This is brand new from Ernest Sternglass. And this graph represents 60% of the babies born in the United States, hypothyroidism. Hypothyroidism is the hollow dots, and the amount of megawatts of, it's the energy generated per reactor, in the United States. It's for, these states, about 20 of them. And, it's a pretty close relationship. And the significance is that we see low and high birth weights, abnormal birth weights, which increase the risk for childhood obesity, children's diabetes, and learning disabilities. 2 minutes, okay. This is a graph on characters of particles and particle dispersoids from the Handbook of Chemistry and Physics. This is everything about depleted uranium. This is the 1/10 micron particle size. This is the range for bacteria. This is the range for viruses. And you can see that metallic dust and fumes, which is exactly what depleted uranium is when it burns, has a range from 100 microns to 10 angstroms. Even microscopes cannot see these particles. They're so small. And the average particle size for depleted uranium when it burns is 1/10 of a micron. This is also the average particle size for atmospheric dust. And these remain suspended. They go around and around the world. They go into our lungs. 1/10 micron particle is 1,000 times smaller than the red blood cell. So depleted uranium is just another form of radioactive pollution. And when a depleted uranium particle releases an alpha particle, there is a recoil reaction which is similar to shooting a powerful handgun. The bullet goes that way and your arm and the gun goes this way. And when depleted uranium particles release alpha particles, those alpha particles go like nuclear bombs into cells, and the depleted uranium particle goes the other way into the most intimate parts of the cell. We need to look at mitochondria damage. We need to look at the way uranium chemically reacts with the phosphorus on the cell membrane throughout the cell, because uranium ores are phosphate ores for the most part. Uranium loves phosphorus. So we're all Habaksha. The depleted uranium is going around the world. And thank you all for being here. There's nothing that we'll ever do that's more important. And people ask me, how can you work on such a difficult and depressing subject, radiation? And my answer is, there is no choice. Thank you very much.